This morning and this weekend, we celebrate Jesus. We also are celebrating the independence of this nation. And centuries ago, there was a man who, before he died, said, "I regret that I have but one life to give for my country." That's faith. That's faith in a country, faith in a belief in the nation. But I believe this morning we're to celebrate something even greater, which is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For after all, the scriptures do say that every nation and every tongue, every tribe will praise Jesus. And so this morning, I'd like us to look at a passage that speaks of faith. Faith not in a nation, not in a culture, not in anything of this earth, but faith in Jesus Christ. So let's look once again to John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. Here we have Jesus beginning his public ministry. He's just beginning. And God has sent John the Baptist to herald Christ. And the scriptures say in chapter 1 that the Baptist was with two of his disciples. We know now that they are Andrew and John the writer of this gospel. And John was a man of faith. The Baptist was a man of faith. Scripture says in verse 36 that he saw Jesus passing by. Jesus was not yet known, hadn't begun his ministry really. And I love what it says in Spanish. You know, I was ministering in Latin America for 10 years, and I love in Spanish translation, it says, Jesus andaba por ahí. Jesus was just kind of walking around. We know it was not aimlessly, it was not pointlessly. Jesus never walks aimlessly or pointlessly. But I love that translation, that idea of Jesus walking around. And John, being a man of faith, had a great relationship with the Father, spent much time in the Father's presence, heard the Father's voice. And we need to be in his presence if we are to hear his voice, like John did. And when we spend time in God's presence and in the presence of the Word, our faith will grow. We'll have a new understanding of Jesus Christ. Because John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus walking by, the crowd probably saw him as well, but he was not some itinerant preacher. He was not some teacher. He was not some common rabbi. Because John said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And this phrase, "Lamb of God," is tremendous. Because only the Baptist had that revelation of Jesus Christ. We know there are many names in Scripture for the Lord Jesus, but only the Baptist, by his faith, by his understanding of God's redemptive plan, knew that Jesus was the Lamb of God. In verse 29 of John chapter 1, we see the Baptist saying the same thing. "There is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John knew Christ. The Baptist knew God. And he saw a facet of God's redemptive plan in Christ that perhaps no other had seen. The Lamb of God. And brothers and sisters, we too need to have a close walk with God so that when we see Jesus walking by, we can identify with him. We can see where he's moving. We can discern where he wants to go. We can see the lives that he wants to touch. And John the Baptist knew that this was not any ordinary man, but that he was the precious Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. You know, I believe that Jesus is walking around today. We know he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, but he is looking for a heart of faith. He's looking who he can reveal himself to, on whose behalf he can show himself strong. May we all have eyes of the Baptist and be able to see Jesus Christ in the fullness of his glory, in the fullness of his power, like John the Baptist did. And you know, John the Baptist, he had many disciples, but he pointed his disciples to Jesus. He wasn't an egomaniac. He didn't say, "Listen, John and Andrew, I have a thriving ministry here baptizing people in the River Jordan. Why don't you stay with me? He is the Lamb of God, but I really have the ministry going on here in the River Jordan. He's a good guy. He might be a good teacher, but I'm the man of God's man of power for the hour." No, John the Baptist didn't say that. Because faith always points others to Jesus Christ. He didn't say, "John and Andrew, let him go and stay with me. I have a lot of people to baptize today. There's a bunch coming up from Jerusalem, and they need to be baptized. No. He said, this is the end. This is the beginning. This Jesus is the focal point of all that we are and all that we ever will be. Verse 37 says that when the two disciples heard the Baptist say this, there was a radical change in their life. Verse 37, when the two disciples, knowing that they are John and Andrew, heard the Baptist say this, they followed Jesus. You remember the famous words of the Baptist, he must increase and I must decrease. That is what faith accomplishes in the heart of the child of God. More glory for him, less glory for man. May the nations praise him. May the peoples bow their knee before him. And may Jesus Christ receive the glory. Faith punches a hole in the balloon of the ego. Faith praises the Lord Jesus and points all men to him. Now we must ask ourselves, do our words have the same effect in the hearts of men and women as the words of the Baptist did in the hearts of Andrew and John? Because we see in verse 37 that when these two disciples heard Jesus, the Baptist speak, they followed him. Let us ask ourselves, when we speak of Jesus, when we speak about him, when we tell others about the Lamb of God, do they follow him? John the Baptist had that particular quality about him, and we all should too, that when we speak about him, others will follow him, and they'll say, you've been good, but Jesus is better. No preacher is as good a preacher as Jesus. No minister can minister as the Lamb of God can. No intercessor can pray as the great intercessor is now interceding for the church. Are we leading others to Christ as John the Baptist did? They heard him and they followed Jesus. The Baptist is a great example of faith. He had a particular revelation, a unique revelation of Jesus as the Lamb of God, and he shared that with others. Seek the Lord. Seek him with all your heart. And God, as the scripture promises us, if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us and will reveal himself to us. But it is not for us. That is to be shared with others as the Baptist did. You got to have faith as the Baptist did. But we see that there are others with faith in this passage, not just the Baptist. Let's follow these followers of Jesus as they go after him. Verse 38. Andrew and John are beginning to follow Jesus. And look, there's an amazing thing that happens here in verse 38. Jesus, turning around, saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? You see, this is tremendous because Jesus, as we saw in the beginning, was walking around there. No one knew him except John, really. Even John had a limited understanding of Jesus' redemptive plan. But there's one thing that Jesus is looking for as he's walking back and forth throughout the earth. We know he's omnipresent, and yet he's constantly on the move. The Bible says God's looking, his eyes go to and fro throughout the earth to see who he can show himself strong on behalf of that person. And so Jesus always responds to faith. This is the point of this passage. Jesus always responds to faith because Jesus, as he was walking, noticed that these two men were following him, and the scripture said he turned around. Now, to turn around, you need to stop. It's possible that Jesus turned around as he was walking, but I believe that Jesus stopped in his tracks and turned around. Faith causes Jesus to stay. A heart full of faith causes Jesus to stop and turn around and to say, yes, faith is what I'm looking for. Jesus said, I'm coming back to the earth, but when I come back, will I find faith? There are many who follow Jesus during his 3 years of ministry, but with their own agenda, with ulterior motives. His own family followed him, but without faith. He was in a house teaching, and his family was standing outside and said, this guy's crazy. We need to bring him back home and deprogram him. We don't know what's gotten into this rabbi, this son of ours. But Jesus said, no, I will continue ministering to my mother, my brothers, those who have come with a heart of faith. Jesus responds to faith. A cry of faith, a step of faith will be met by the master's hand. You remember the woman who had the issue of blood, the sickness? which no doctor could heal. And she was in the midst of a crowd following Jesus. And they were touching Jesus. But Jesus stopped, not by the touch of the crowd, but by the touch of that woman who did not say a thing. She only said within her heart, "This is the one who can heal me." And she touched him with faith, and Jesus stopped once again, and he said, "Who touched me?" You see, faith causes Jesus to react. Faith unlocks the promises and the power of Jesus Christ. And that woman, the only one, as far as we know, in that crowd who received that day the mercy and the grace and the power of Jesus because she touched him with a heart of faith. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, yet he climbed a tree, a sycamore tree. And there was a crowd. He had to climb the tree because the crowd was so great. Being a short man, he could not see the Messiah. And so he was in the sycamore tree, perhaps picking some sycamores. And Jesus walked by. And with faith, he looked at Jesus. And Jesus knew that there was faith in his heart. And Jesus stopped once again, recognizing that this man had faith, that this man knew that he was more than just an itinerant rabbi, that he was truly the Son of God, the Creator, the living Word. And he said, "Zacchaeus, I will eat with you today. I'm going to have lunch with you because I see in your heart you are receptive, you have faith, and I have a work for you." Faith stops the master as he goes to and fro, and he will respond to faith. There are many who followed him who did not have faith. They did not seek a blessing. They did not want to know the Lord. Even his own disciples said at one point, "Lord, when you get in your kingdom, let me sit on your right hand." And the other one said, "Let me sit on the left. You know I'm the most anointed, the most loved by you." And Jesus said, "I have no time for this. This is not faith. This is not the reason I've come." On another occasion, some came to him with a dispute and said, "Tell him to give me my inheritance, the money that's due me." And Jesus basically said, "That's not what I'm here for. I'm not to be a judge of these things. I've come to give life." So Jesus, as he walks through the earth, as he is here among us today, is looking for faith, is filled with joy when there's faith. And Jesus turned around because Andrew and John were following him with faith. And it's wonderful what Jesus says in verse 38. Turning around, Jesus said, "What do you want?" The first recorded words of Jesus in his public ministry, according to the Gospel of John. He did not begin with a large sermon, a long sermon. He did not begin saying the kingdom of God is like this or like that. He said, "What do you want?" The first words of Jesus, a question. What is it you're looking for? If you're looking for life, you've come to the right place. I think this question is pregnant with meaning. If you're looking for peace, if you're looking for peace with God, if you're looking for justification, if your heart is in turmoil and you want peace that only my Father can give, you've come to the right place. That question, I believe, Jesus asks today. The Word of God is eternal, and I believe this question rings and resonates even in our midst today. What do you want? Are you seeking me to resolve your personal issues? That's fine, but I have much more. Jesus says, "What is it you're looking for?" If you're looking for life eternal and joy, you've come to the right place. A question like this shows the availability of Jesus for all to come. For all to come. For, you know, there's many ways you can ask this question. What do you want? Or what do you want? And I believe the latter was the tone that Jesus used. What is it that you want? Come to me. If you want life, you've come to the right place. And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying? Where are you staying?" They didn't say, "Jesus, where's your house? We want to visit you." They said, "Where are you staying?" And you know that's significant because Jesus, as we know, has no house. He has no home except in the heart of every man and woman who believes. Jesus takes up residence in the heart of every child, every woman, every young person, and every man who opens their heart and receives him. But as for a physical house, we know that Jesus has none. In 1 Chronicles, God said to David, who was in a tither because he wanted to build a house for God, And God said, I have never dwelt in a house. I have moved from one place to another. He is an itinerant God in one sense. Moving. What house can you build for me? Stephen, before he was stoned, said the following. God said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house are you going to build for me? God doesn't look for timber, bricks, or mortar. He looks for a heart of faith. And in that heart of faith, he will take up residence. Jacob, the one who had a stone for a pillow, had an encounter with God. He was in no home. He was in the wilderness, and he was sleeping on a stone. He probably had a tremendous neck ache when he woke up the next morning. But he had a tremendous encounter with the King of Glory. And what did he say? He didn't say, man, my neck hurts. He said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. Why? Because there he saw God. So you see, Jesus is looking not so much for bricks and mortar, but for hearts of faith. And Jesus saw that those two disciples following him had a nascent faith, a beginning faith. And so Jesus said, just what do you want? And they probably didn't know how to formulate everything that was in their heart. You know, faith is a wonderful thing. It's hard to quantify. It's hard to qualify. It's hard to formulate. You just can't define it. But it's a yearning in one's heart for more of God. A certainty in one heart, an ineffable sense that only Jesus can give me what I'm searching for. And I think these two had that sense of, oh, I don't know, but I want to be where you are. Where you are, that's where I want to be. And so there's a lot formulated in this phrase that those two said, where are you staying? Once again, Jesus said in verse 39, come and you will see. Come and you will see. So they went and saw. This is a tremendous phrase. This encapsulates and summarizes faith. Jesus said, come and see. They went and saw. It sounds like basic English grammar, but this is pregnant with meaning. It defines faith because faith is this being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Jesus said, come and you will see. They went and they saw. That is faith. Not seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. We have it wrong. If any of you are from Missouri, forgive me, but they have this saying, the show me state. I think Jesus would have a hard time doing many miracles there if that was their attitude. Show me. I'm not going to believe unless you show me. And many times we have that attitude. Unless I see it, I won't believe it. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Jesus said, come and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. That's about 4 p.m. Some scholars say that this was a Friday. And so it's likely, it's possible, that the disciples spent that afternoon and that evening and all the Sabbath in the place where Jesus was staying, sitting at his feet, inquiring of him, listening to him, and they saw him. Jesus said, come and you will see. You know, over and over again in the Gospel of John, John uses this phrase, come, to define faith. Coming to Jesus is faith. Over and over again, we see it in the Gospel of John. For we see Jesus said to Nicodemus, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. He said to the Jews, you refuse to come to me, once again, to have life. To the crowd, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. On the last day of the feast in Jerusalem, Jesus stood to his feet and said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Over and over again, John uses this phraseology to define faith. Come to Jesus, and you will see. Come to him, and you will receive. Believe in him, and he will meet you more than halfway. This is not just an evangelistic message for those who perhaps don't know Christ. Is it possible that some of us are unbelieving believers? Faith is a process, and we all must come to Him constantly to receive from Him, and faith will transform our hearts. So they went. They spent the day with Jesus. They sought hard after the Lord. And I want to encourage you that you seek hard after God, for He is the author of life. He is the giver of hope. And as we seek hard after Him, the Scriptures promise us that He will draw near to us. So they went, and I believe there was a transformation in the heart of Andrew and John. I said earlier that Jesus has no house of timber or brick, but that He lives in the heart of faith. And here we see in verse 41, after they left the house of Jesus, the first thing Andrew did, he was so excited. You know, knowing Jesus and walking with Him and following hard after Him and living a life of faith is a life that is exciting. It's a life of joy. It's not a religious life where the tendency is to say, let's go to church again and sing that hymn one more time. It's a joyful, spontaneous walk of faith. The first thing he did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. The Messiah, not Handel's Messiah, God's Messiah. We found Him. And I believe there was a transformation in his heart, because in verse 38, when he took his first tentative steps to follow Jesus Christ, he said, Rabbi, where are you staying? Rabbi means teacher. There were many rabbis in the land of Israel in the time of Andrew. But there was only one Messiah, and his name was Jesus Christ. Just as today, there is only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. And so in the home of Jesus, there was a radical transformation in the heart of Andrew. And I believe during that time, Jesus took up residence in the heart of Andrew. And that's why he said to his brother, we found the Messiah. We have found the one that Israel has been longing for centuries. And if we can read between the lines, I believe he said, he took up residence in my heart. He's living in my heart. You know, Jesus moves from place to place, but wherever He moves, He transforms that place. He is here with us today. And if He moves into a human heart, that heart will be transformed. It will never be the same again. Jesus spent 33 years on this earth, and the earth has never been the same since. It's been transformed. Even among those who deny the Lord, among those who say they are atheists, they must recognize that Jesus has come to the earth. Jesus spent 3 years with His disciples, investing His life in them. They were transformed. He stayed with them. He tabernacled with them for 3 years, and they were transformed. Jesus stays, and where He goes, that place will never be the same again, especially a human heart. Jesus spent 6 hours on the cross. He stayed there for 6 hours. And the universe has been totally changed. Salvation is open for all who will believe. The blood was shed on that cross, and during those 6 hours, the Holy of Holies were opened up. The presence of God has been opened up to all, from every nation and every tribe and every tongue, old and young alike, intelligent and poor and rich. Jesus in 6 hours transformed history, transformed people during that 6 hours, and those 6 hours on the cross changed everything. He spent 3 days in the tomb, and the tomb was radically changed. Where Jesus stays even for a moment, that place is changed, it's shaken. And Jesus, during those 3 days in the tomb, broke the power of death, broke the power of sin, broke the power of the enemy. And we now walk in victory because of those 3 days in the tomb. Jesus spent 40 days from His resurrection to His ascension, giving many proofs of His resurrection power. You see, it doesn't matter whether it's 40 days or one moment. Jesus, if He finds a heart of faith, will stop, turn around and say, what is it you're looking for? Come and see. And it brings transformation. Andrew grabbed Peter, Simon, who was his name at that time, and said, this is the greatest thing to hit this area since sliced bread. You've got to come. This is tremendous. We found the Messiah. So Simon came, maybe reluctantly. What's my brother leading me on now? Maybe he thought. And they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated means Peter. Jesus, when he looks at the heart of faith of a man or woman or child or young person, sees not so much what you have been or what you are, but what you can be in him. We get caught up so many times of what we've been through or what we are going through, but Jesus looks at what we will be in him. He has this custom of changing people's lives, names, and futures in a radical fashion. He changed Jacob into Israel. He changed Abram into Abraham. And Revelation speaks of a white stone with a new name on it for all who overcome. You will be. He is the great I am. Not the great I was, but the great I am. And faith transforms. May God, by his mercy, put in our hearts a longing for him. Whether we are new and we do not know Christ, we can begin by opening our hearts to him and allowing him to take up residence in our heart. Whether we've walked with Christ for years and decades, there's still need for faith, an ever-increasing faith, and we must remember that Jesus responds to faith as he is walking through the earth. When he sees faith, perhaps uttered in a prayer, perhaps as you take a step of faith to minister to someone who is needy, Jesus takes notice and he stops. Do we desire that in our lives? The evangelist Tommy Tenney tells a story about he was ministering for a couple of weeks and he was away from his family. And he had a young daughter, and he came home from his travels, and his young daughter came running out, "Daddy, Daddy, it's so good to see you." And she had a little plastic Barbie house in the backyard, and she had a tea set of plastic cups and saucers. She said, "Daddy, would you like to have a tea party?" And he said, "Yes, let's do that." So they went into the plastic house. It was a hot day. The sun was beating down on the plastic roof. And his daughter poured imaginary tea into the plastic cup and served it to her dad. And he drank the imaginary tea and smiled. He said, "It's so good to be with you." His daughter said, "Daddy, I missed you. I like to be with you." And he said, "I've missed you too, and I love being with you, even with an imaginary tea." He said it was hot in that little plastic house. Sun was beating down. He said he had to stoop down to get into it. He wasn't in it so much as wearing it. And the sun was beating on his head. And he loved being with his daughter, but he said, "You know, let's go into my house and get something real to drink. Come with me to my house, to our house, and let's drink something real." You know, so many times we put God in our plastic box and we content ourselves with imaginary tea. And God is pleased to be with us, but he cannot be boxed in. He's pleased to pass time with us and spend a few moments with us. But he longs for a deeper walk, just a closer walk with thee. "Grant it, Jesus, this I plead." And he says to us today, "Come into my house and let's drink of my living water. For this truly refreshes, this truly gives life, and this truly is free and flowing for all who will avail themselves of it." May we be, as Tommy Tenney says, God chasers, running after him and seeing Jesus respond to faith. If you want to see Jesus stop in your life, minister through you, use you as he never has before, touch him with faith, and he will turn around. He will stop, and he will say, "Come and see." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it. It's my plea. We long for more of you. Lord, we look into your scriptures and we see many who followed you with their own agenda, with ulterior motives, and they received nothing. But everyone, everyone, even without words, who reached out to you and touched you with faith, in some cases made you stop in your tracks, turn around, and minister life as only the Lamb of God can. For this we give you thanks. For this we praise you. And we pray, O Lord, that you would help our small faith and cause it to increase so that we might have the full assurance that we are walking with the Master. As we come to the table today, your servant John spoke of coming to Jesus as an act of faith. May we see you as never before in the simple act of coming to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.